Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
The cool thing was is that he was readily accepted by the United States Olympic contingent. In fact, if you remember that year, Michael Johnson was doing all sorts of crazy stuff with 200 because he's super fast. You talk about a guy who had great lean, man. See that guy run? Michael Johnson made sure the U.S. track and field invited Peter Norman to the celebratory party for Michael Johnson after the games. And they made him the guest of honor, with Michael Johnson telling Peter Norman that he's one of his heroes. Norman dies in 2006. Smith and Carlos are pallbearers for him. In 2012, the Australian government apologizes to the family of Peter Norman. Here's what Norman said about his life. I won a silver medal, but really I ended up running the fastest race I've ever run in my life to become part of something that transcends the games. I know that a lot of people are trying to figure out, like, how can you be involved and how can you be an ally? This is a wonderful and tragic example of what it means to be an ally.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
A lot of people didn't know that part of the story. I was happy to share that part of the story. We're going to dig a little deeper on that. Later on this week, Dr. Harry Edwards is going to be on the show, and he was a big part of that, so we're going to talk to him about that later on this week. For today's show, we got a couple friends that are going to stop by. Pete Futek is going to be on the show at 1240. I got questions on why the NCAA doesn't have a uniform protocol when it comes to getting players back and trying to restart football. So I want to talk with him about that and some of the coaching issues out there as well. Anthony Heron will join us, Heron, at 1 o'clock. I want to talk Cam Newton with him. I want to talk college football with him, go back over some stuff that we've discussed when it comes to getting players on the field for both college and pro. So that's coming up at 1. Inside the show today, there's a lot that we have to do. We need to talk about Jay Cutler. Let me ask you a question right now, just to have a little fun. Just for, as Zach would say, poops and giggles. Let's say that the NFL has to expand their rosters the way that MLB is doing with these player pool rosters. Let's say that they have to expand their rosters, and I expect that they will have to expand their rosters because of COVID-19. And the Bears brought in Jay Cutler to compete. Wouldn't you love it? Like, now, wouldn't you love the idea of Jay Cutler being in competition with Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky? Because at some point, they're going to have to. I was thinking about this over the weekend. If you're an NFL team, your list of, I need a list of guys that have actually played quarterback that are still young enough that it makes sense for them to be on my list of quarterbacks who might be able to come in, and if we have some sort of incident or issue with our quarterback, might be able to step in and help us out for 4 weeks, or whatever it is, or be our quarterback for the rest of the season. Herbie, wouldn't Jay be on your list? He'd be on mine. Like, I'm not talking about the guys that already have jobs. I'm talking about you have to put a list together of representative quarterback play that are not already on a roster. This is the project that we started on today. What type of list can we put together for it, for the NFL? Jay Cutler, Colin Kaepernick, like, who else could we put on that list that are going to be in demand once I think rosters expand and you have to figure out who your other quarterbacks are?
I know he was no good as a quarterback in the pros or Canada, but Johnny Manziel has to get a look, right?
Okay. All right. So right now I got Colin Kaepernick, Jay Cutler, Johnny Manziel. What about the kid from Penn State? He was terrible, but
Christian
drafted Hackenberg really high.
Or Matt McGloin?
Yes. Oh, I guess both of them. Jay Cutler, Johnny Manziel, Matt McGloin, and Christian Hackenberg. Okay, who else can we put on the list? Just text in 312-644-6767. We are putting together our quarterback contingency list. Like, don't give me guys that are like 50 years old that used to play. That texter says Tim Tebow. That's a good name to put on the list.
I mean, he's Taysom Hill Sr., right?
Yes, he is. Vince Young. Let's put Vince Young on the list. Someone said Eli Manning. Sure, why not? But if I'm Eli, I've made more money than anybody playing quarterback in the history of the NFL. Me, guess what I'm not doing coming back during a pandemic? I mean, Jay's got like $100 million too, so I'm just saying. I am really, really enjoying that Jay Cutler is out here on Instagram and people are like, oh, I kind of like Jay Cutler. Yeah, that's the thing. I did a whole podcast on it yesterday, and I don't know if you've been paying attention to it, but he's now actually using his Instagram, which is If Jay Had Instagram. That's the @ for him. And he's trying to figure out who is killing his chickens. Plot twist, you know it's Kristen. I don't know that for sure, but that would be the plot twist. Like, that would be the Scooby-Doo plot twist. Like, how deep could this list go? Mark Sanchez, right? We could put him on the list. Some people – isn't DeShone Kizer on somebody's roster right now? Cardale Jones, that's a good name. Ooh, Christian Ponder. Oh. Okay.
I know the man didn't play quarterback in the NFL, but Braxton Miller, maybe? Question mark?
Well, he played receiver, right?
He did.
But he's got quarterback skills, and you got to think outside the box. Someone said Andrew Luck. I think that's another guy that maybe made too much money to and might be too smart to jump back in. Like, that nexus of having enough money in the bank and then being like, I'm good. If you want to talk about 2021, and those of you who are suggesting Tony Romo, no way in hell. He's making more money talking about football than he did playing football. Tony Romo is slated to make somewhere between $170 and $180 million for CBS over the next 10 seasons. And I think that he ended up making like $140 million playing quarterback for the Cowboys. No, thank you. I'm good. Someone said Ryan Mallett. This is going to be the worst list of quarterbacks ever. And I'm here for it. If this is the way that we need to start our Monday, people, then I'm here for it. Orlovsky, that's a good choice too. Although he's making good coin at ESPN, he's probably not making NFL coin. But he'd be on the list of guys that I would have. 219 Texas says, this is a perfect opportunity for Mike Glennon to rob the bank again. Is he still a Raider? Didn't he get someone signed? Isn't he on someone? You got to be thinking, like, not on a roster. Not already on a roster. Is he still with the
He's
Raiders?
A Jacksonville Jaguar.
He's a Jacksonville Jaguar. So, no, take him off the list then.
I'm surprised no one in the Chicagoland area has talked about Mount Carmel's head coach, Jordan Lynch, yet.
Ooh. All right, we'll put Jordan Lynch on the list. That works. Yeah, why not? And he played in Canada for a little bit, correct?
Correct.
Would you? How old is Happy Hank? What is Happy Hank? My age, 45? Let's see how old Henry Burris is. He gets another shot at all of this. Yeah, we're literally the same age. We were born like a day apart. All right, I'm putting Henry Burris on the list because I like the idea of someone my age going back to playing, and it gives him another shot at playing in the NFL. By the way, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. When Henry Burris goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, don't be surprised because it's the Pro Football Hall of Fame, not the NFL Hall of Fame. And Happy Hank's numbers in Canada are worthy of him going to the Hall of Fame. All right, so here's the list that we have so far. We're doing the due diligence for Ryan Pace because clearly he needs it. We're also doing the due diligence for other teams around the NFL. If you're putting a list together of quarterbacks that you need to call if you end up having some sort of COVID situation on your roster, here's what we got. Colin Kaepernick, Jay Cutler. So Cap, we got Cap like number one, right, on the list. He's the number one guy. He should be on the roster now. Colin Kaepernick, Jay Cutler, Johnny Manziel, Matt McGloin, Tim Tebow, Vince Young, Eli Manning, but I'm scratching Eli off. He's made too much money. Mark Sanchez, Cardale Jones, Christian Ponder. Ugh. We're going to ask Braxton Miller to go back and change positions. Andrew Luck, I put him in the made too much money category. Ryan Mallett, Dan Orlovsky, Jordan Lynch, Henry Burris. Are we missing anyone? I said Tim Tebow, right? Did Tebow make the Mets 60-man roster? I need someone to check that for me. Because if Tebow didn't make the 50-man roster, he would be one of the first people I would call.
Yeah, he got left off.
Oh, then yeah, let's get Tim Tebow down here. Let's get his football information and get him a Hamlet, as Uncle Terry would say. Alex Smith, I don't know. If you haven't seen ESPN did an E60 on Alex Smith, You should seek it out. It's called the Alex Smith Project. It is a really well done piece, and it is gruesome. And I don't know if you've seen it, but you should. If you really want to know what his leg injury was like and the surgeries that he had to go, I have never seen this graphic of a telling of a story about an injury ever. They let you see what happened to his leg when it got infected. And I don't know why he even still wants to play ball now that he can actually walk and run. But if you haven't sought it out, do yourself a favor. If you're a football fan, if you're someone that is like, how do you guys rehab? This is the most extreme case of it. But the Alex Smith Project, or Project 11, I think they call it. Project 11. Go watch it. You will be forever changed. I'm not kidding. Like, you will see that and you'll be like, oh my God. Because they spared no expense. They let you inside what was going on with that guy's leg. And what was going on in that guy's leg was hard. It was difficult. Texter says Josh McCown. He's been on Jay's Instagram, like, commenting. Ooh, another guy my age, Ryan Leaf. Sure, why not? Josh Johnson. Okay. Who else is on the list? What else? Oh, Kyle Orton. Too smart to come back and play. Still young enough, but too smart. Kevin Hogan. These are some terrible names that y'all are putting out there. Here's an interesting text from the 630. Brock Osweiler. Did he make too much money? I think he did. Brock Osweiler is also the answer to a trivia question. What trivia question is that? It's this one. Name a quarterback that beat the Bears with three different teams. The answer? Brock Osweiler. Did it with three different teams. And I think in 3 years, right? It was Denver. Like, he debuted with Denver and beat him. Then he beat him with the Texans, and then he beat him with the Dolphins. You remember the Brock Osweiler game where he was throwing the ball side to side? The Bears are playing Miami, and I'll tell you, let me just tell you something. Sometimes you do need the feedback of guys that played the game to teach you some stuff. Sometimes it's common sense, and sometimes it's merit. Before the game, Matt Forte, he's part of our collective that we have for the football after show, he said to me, I think the Bears are going to lose this game. And I said, why? I said, it doesn't make sense for them to lose this game. Why do you think they're going to lose this game? Well, here's the thing about going to play down in Miami. Remember that Matt Forte, when he left the Bears, he went and played for the Jets. He's in the division with Miami. He said, when you go down there, the home team's bench is in a shaded area. The visitors have to make plans on how they're going to deal with the sun. They have to do it on their own. And if you don't do it in time, like with getting a tent set up or something like that, you're going to end up having to figure out a way to keep your guys cool on the sidelines. If you remember that game, the Bears had like four assistant guys walking up and down the sidelines with, it looked like tables, as they were trying to shade the players from the sun. And I just kept looking at Matt like, how did you know that this was about to happen? And he goes, this will happen to us with the Jets. We didn't make the right precautions. And then we ran out of gas at the end of the game. And what happened to the Bears? They ran out of gas at the end of the game. It was insane. I like this list of quarterbacks. Don't say Tyler Bray, 412 texter. How dare you? Chase Daniel has a job. Chase Daniel is going to make more money than Cam Newton this year. And Jameis Winston this year. He's got a good job. The finesse, and we've discussed this on the show before, Herbie. Has anyone finessed the NFL better than Chase Daniel?
All I can think of is Sam Bradford, but Sam Bradford could actually play before he got hurt.
And that was more about the collective bargaining agreement. He was the last guy to get in under the crazy days of getting $50 million when you get drafted as a quarterback at the top of the draft. Ooh, that's a good one. Chad Pennington. He may have made too much money, too. Like, I think about it this way. I think about, like, the guys at home. Like, this is the scenario that you have to envision. That guy is at home doing whatever guys do when they're done playing football. The phone rings, and it's a coach. Let's say it's Matt Nagy. You know what? Let's say it's Matt Patricia. Let's leave Nagy out of it. Let's say it's Matt Patricia. And he's like, hey, this is Coach Patricia with the Detroit Lions. Jay, listen, obviously, you know that we are in the middle of a pandemic, and we are trying to bolster up our quarterback room, and we've had some issues with keeping quarterbacks healthy, not on the field but off the field. We'd be wondering if you would take a meeting with us virtually over the Zoom. How quickly does a guy hang up? Or how quickly does a guy go, oh, yeah, I'm interested? That's what I have, like, playing out in my mind. Like, GM's putting a list together like we're putting a list together. And then going, which of these are realistic? Like, And then maybe having to be desperate and saying, forget about realistic. Someone wants to put Matt Leinart on the list. May have made too much money at USC. Antoine Randall retired. Got his Super Bowl ring. He's good. No Byron Leftwich. He's coaching Tom Brady. Although, if I'm Bruce Arians, I'd be like, hey, Byron, make sure your ass is in shape. Just in case. Just in case. Just in case what, coach? Just in case. Someone said put Sam Bradford on the list. He may be have made too much money to be on this list. The risk reward. You got to find the nexus between the risk and the reward. Brady Quinn. Did we put Brady Quinn? No, he's not on the list. We'll put Brady Quinn on the list. I think Brady Quinn's too swole to play quarterback now. Joe Flacco. Is Flacco on a roster? Or did he like officially retire? Don't you dare say Joey Harrington's name.
Joe Flacco is a New York Jet.
Yeah, I figured he was on a roster, so he can't be a one. Jimmy Clausen, let's put him on the list. Jamarcus Russell. We're already back to Jamarcus.
What about that All guy right. Who was a big-time prospect for Notre Dame, then went to Cincinnati, Gunnar Kiel?
Gunnar Kiel. He's not on someone's roster as like a practice squad guy? This has been so much fun. Curtis Painter. We literally just spent the first segment of the show naming bad quarterbacks. Mostly. A couple of good ones, but mostly bad quarterbacks. And now I think that you guys aren't even trying to play my game. I feel like you're playing your own game now. It's just, how many bad quarterbacks can I text to Lawrence and have him read it on the air? Well, the answer to that question is as many as you want. Terrell Pryor. Isn't Brandon Whedon 78 years old? Here's an interesting one. Rex Grossman. May have made too much money. Has anyone seen or heard from Rex? When's the last time you heard about Rex Grossman? If I would have told you 10 years ago that Rex Grossman would disappear and Olin Krutz would be a media star, would you have believed me? No, you would not have believed me. Along with putting our quarterback list together, our horrible quarterback list, don't be texting Chris Winkie in here. No one wants Chris Winkie to play quarterback. We also need to talk about the rosters of the Cubs and the White Sox. Those rosters are out. The player pools are out. I'm going to go through them. I got some questions for Herbie, especially after the latest episode of the Locked on Sox podcast. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, during the break, we added a couple names to our list of emergency quarterbacks. Kevin Kolb and David Carr. Derek is already making $25 million this year. David is just hanging out at NFL Network. So, all right, he's on the list too. Don't be sending me a Keely Smith text. Or Cordell Stewart, for that matter. The camp rosters are out for both the Cubs and the White Sox. As it stands, because there's still a little bit of room for each team to play around with what is a 60-person player pool. The White Sox have, right now, four catchers, Zach Collins, Yasmani Grandal, James McCann, and Ermin Mercedes, who wasn't he the guy that was just hitting taters, like, all spring training? Like, every time you looked up, he was just hitting the ball out of the yard. And then you look at their infielders, and it's Jose Abreu, Tim Anderson, Chesler Cutberth, made-up person, Edwin Encarnacion, Leury Garcia, Nick Madrigal, Danny Mendek, Yoan Moncada, Andrew Romine, Andrew Vaughn. The outfielders, Luis Basabe, Nicky Delmonico, who was having an incredible spring before things shut down, Adam Engel, Aloy, Nomar, and Lou Bob. As for pitchers, Drew Anderson, Aaron Bummer, Dylan Cease, Steve Cishek, Alex Colome. Remember, the White Sox got Steve Cishek. Jimmy Cordero, Ross Detweiler, Dane Dunning, back from injury, Jace Fry, Carson Fulmer, Taron Guerrero, Lucas Giolito, Gio Gonzalez, Ian Hamilton, Kelvin Herrera, Cody Hewer, Tyler Johnson, Dallas Keuchel, Michael Kopech, Jimmy Lambert, Reynaldo Lopez, Evan Marshall, Carlos Rodon, and Jose Ruiz. Herbie, you host the Locked On Sox podcast with Chris Tannehill. The latest episode is hysterical. I enjoyed the Frazier bit. That was hilarious. Looking at the roster of the White Sox, is there a place where you think that they have any deficiencies?
It looks like their outfield has not enough people. I know it's only 44 of the 60 they can have. I don't know, like, where they're going to put their prospects that didn't make this. I see Basabe's on the list, but where's Mike Rodolfo?
Correct. That was the one name where I was like, and he's healthy, right? Like, he's back healthy?
Yeah. A big-time prospect of theirs a couple years ago, fell on some hard times. Luis Gonzalez is not on this list. I mean, I understand that they could expand this list to be a bigger and full 60 people. I don't know why hiding them right now does anybody any good. Those guys still need development. And for the taxi squad, if you're going to have 30 people initially go to the team, 14 people, yeah, it's a good number, but maximize that. You're going to need most, if not all, those people, as I'm seeing, because COVID's not going away, and injuries are natural. So I'm thinking,
especially when you're starting things up like this, where you could have significant injuries fairly early on with guys pulling hamstrings, like that sort of stuff.
So, yeah, and we've always advocated for the platooning of Nomar Mazar, who can hit righties well, but lefties he's terrible at, and Yasiel Puig, who's usually terrible for his lefties, but last year he had a renaissance. He actually did it well. So if they can find a way to get Yasiel Puig on their team, I don't think he's signed as yet, that'll be great.
I was looking at the Cubs camp, and I feel like they've got everything covered as far as their depth goes, except in one position. I don't trust any of the guys that they have backing up Javi Baez. None of them. To play that position every day. I know people like Nico Horner, for example. No. It's the one position where, because you kind of have like an all-world player, it's not like you're getting people ready to replace Javi Baez. But I swear, it's the one place where I go, they could use a little bit more depth there. Here's the Cubs infielders that they have. Baez, Bodie, Bryant, Descalso, Horner, Kipnis, Rizzo. Obviously, Chris Bryant can play a bunch of different positions, and I guess if you were in some sort of emergency situation, you could have him play shortstop. But with the expanded rosters, I feel like that's the one position where if something happens to Javi Baez during a 60-game sprint, I don't know that you have enough to back him up. But that's my only it's not even a beef. It was just an observation, like looking at their roster. I'm like, you know, they still have a lot of stuff that's in here that leads me to believe that the Cubs will be in a position to sprint and compete for 60 games. They've got guys that have done it before. And if you look at the history of the Cubs over the last couple years, even with that awful, awful start that they got off to, remember how bad they were? Remember how we were like, is everyone about to get fired after the first week of the season? Through 60 games last year, they still were 34-26. Even with that just horrendous start that they had. This is a team that has had history of starting fast and then finishing well. It's the middle months that make people a little uncomfortable. But I just feel like they don't have enough at shortstop. And I don't know how you change that right now, because I imagine that anyone that's out there on the street that can play shortstop for you is going to be picked up rather quickly. So the Cubs are going to have practices at Wrigley, and they're going to send the taxi squad to South Bend, their affiliate there. The White Sox, have they even said where their secondary place is, or is just everything going to be over at 35th and Shields? I think everything I read was just so far it's going to be at White Sox. So we shall see. So those are the Roosters of both the Cubs and the White Sox. Spring training part two, what some teams are calling summer camp, starts on Wednesday. College football is not far behind, except when it comes to protocols for their players. I want to talk with Pete Futek about that next here on The Score. We love to visit with Pete Futek, who is the publisher of College Football News. He's a friend of the show. He joins me now on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out in Melrose Park. AlPamaniFord.com is the way that you can find out more. Mr. Futek, how are you?
I want to be introduced as a friend of the program. I think that fits better in the overall context of your show. I want to be like one of those boosters, you know, who gets to be called that by somebody.
All right, a friend of the program, Pete Futek, joining us here on The Score. Thanks so much for the retweet on what I'm trying to do with me riding the bike for T-Pan.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
Great.
Yeah, man. I'm at 72 of the 250 miles that I pledged to ride for them. And if you want to donate even $20, like, you just look through my timeline, you'll find the link. I put it up this morning. I did my 10-mile sprint today, trying to beat my split time of 45 minutes, and I just got underneath the wire. So thanks, Pete, for retweeting it, and we're hopefully going to raise a whole lot of money for families affected by HIV, which is a really
good cause. Oh, wow, absolutely. Phenomenal.
So thank you, man. I actually rode my bike all the way down to the southeast side this weekend. I went down to, like, the Indiana border, went over to, like, Avenue O, like, all that good stuff.
Oh, you're really moving.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was pretty crazy. I wanted to bring you on because I ran across a story, and I wanted to get your feedback on it. I thought that this was going to be the case. I guess nothing really surprises me anymore when it comes to college football and the NCAA. How in the world is there not universal protocols on getting football back on the field and the health issues and testing that may arise? How is that possible?
Because there's no Roger Goodell. It is driving, and this is what I've said from the absolute start of this thing 3 months ago. And my anger isn't that there might not be college football, because, hey, if there's not for this year, so be it, as long as everyone's safe. My anger is that these fools had so much time. You had, like, okay, the NBA, the NHL, college basketball, they were blindsided. You know, so they had to shut things down because they didn't have any time to prepare for this. You had 3 months to kind of figure out a good, fair way to do this. And the NFL is starting to kind of trickle out and beefing about this as well. And as we're finding out, and this goes for college as well as just college football, what's going to happen when you have these little college towns, which right now don't have any real massive outbreaks or problems, and then 40,000 people from all over the world are going to descend upon this little area with zero social distancing whatsoever. Or what is every college kid going to do the second that they get there? House parties. You know, they're going to all hang out together because that's what college kids do. That's what everyone does, but college kids have a nice, better way to do it. And all of a sudden, there's going to be problems. And there is, like you said, there's no protocol. I kind of think the way this is going to end up working is that it's going to be on a conference-by-conference basis. Because the NCAA is going to do everything humanly possible to punt and to get rid of the liability side and say, look, we're going to leave this up to the schools and the individuals, and whatever you guys want to do is fine. And then I think it's going to be the SEC is going to have its protocol, the Big Ten is going to have its protocol, and it's going to be an interesting thing to see how they do this to be, get those guys out there. But as I've said from the start, the same thing is true, and it's going to remain true. The only way this is going to work is if you test the players and coaches and lock them down and quarantine them for the entire season. And unlike other sports, we're talking 3 months. You're talking just 3 months of these guys having to basically be in their same athletic dorm together, taking your classes, just isolating yourself from the rest of the world and playing college football. That's it. You get through 3 months, you get to December, and there's a break, and you can kind of figure it all out from there.
But I'm still stuck on how do you not have something already? And the piece in the Washington Post this weekend where one of the mothers of the Notre Dame player says, look, what Notre Dame's done, I feel comfortable with, but I don't know what they're doing in Arkansas. And they don't have the, yep. At least it doesn't seem like they have the same type of testing available that is happening at Notre Dame. Like, how does the NCAA justify its existence at this point? Isn't this exactly what they're supposed to do?
Yes. You had the president of the University of Arizona who has a medical doctor degree, and he was saying a couple months ago that, yeah, everybody who comes in here is going to be tested. We have this foolproof antibody test. We have this foolproof other test that we're going to have every student take. We've got this plan in place, this plan in place, this plan in place. And I think as the interviewer said at the time, well, are you sharing this with the rest of the state? Well, apparently not. You know, so there is every school thinks that they have a plan in place, but, you know, not to go weird here, but like the Mike Tyson line, everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. Every school's got a plan right now to open up their business, which is their school. And that's great until all of a sudden everyone starts passing the bong around in certain dorm rooms and doing other college-y things and it breaks out. And for there to be college football, there has to be a way to shelter from that. And that starts with testing. That starts with keeping everyone away from everyone else. And whenever you say anything like this, you always get the backlash. Well, these are 18 to 22-year-old kids. They're going to be just fine. They're going to be good. Okay, but there's also, you know, that 67-year-old line coach. There's still everyone else. And if I'm an elite athlete, especially if I have NFL aspirations, do I really want to take a chance that I'm not quite sure what this thing's going to do to my lungs if I get it? It's just a lot of bad, and there needs to be a whole lot more done because there's no players association. There's no agents. There's no representation here like the NFL guys have. These parents and these kids are going to have to rely on the schools themselves for their best interests, and that's usually a bad mix.
Friend of the program, Pete Futek, joining me here on The Score. You can check out his work on collegefootballnews.com. I hate to sound cynical, but when you have such a lack of leadership by the NCAA, and we know how big of a revenue generator college football is, I wonder if the strategy is, well, we're running these workouts. We're just going to let it run through our team, and the hope is that by September, everyone on the team has already had it. They have antibodies, and then we go out and play.
Yeah, that's a bad mix. Considering we don't quite, no one's quite sure if that whole antibody thing is true or not, and you can get it again as we're finding out more and more. And I don't like the idea also of saying, yeah, let's just get everyone get it. No, then let's go. Okay, are you sure you want to do this? Because what's kind of also missing here is someone's not going to be okay. And God forbid someone dies from this. If one player, you know, forgetting just getting sick, which is bad enough as it is, if one player were to die, that would be the scandal of all scandals, liability of all liabilities. And to the other point of the NCAA, there's people who are having problems with this whole idea of, all right, if I'm a college student, if I'm a college football player, I have to sign the liability waiver that say if I get it, I'm not going to hold the school responsible. Well, the problem is the school is responsible because they have to rely 100% on whatever tests they're getting, whatever protocols they're doing, whatever they have to do. And again, without any player representation whatsoever, without the NFLPA. Look, if you're an NFL player and you're going out there, and you're going to have to rely on the fact that there's someone out there who's getting paid a whole heck of a lot of money to look out for your best interest. College players don't have that.
Why haven't we seen another uprising? Because I feel like between COVID and the Black Lives Matter movement, the way that players have been treated, I thought for sure that there would be another Kane Coulter out there that would say, perhaps it's time that we all get together and form a pseudo union so that we could talk about our interests.
Too tough to figure out right now legally. It's a lot easier for these players to have done what they are doing and using their influence in other ways, because now look at Kylan Hill of Mississippi State. Where here's this All-America running back, should have gone pro, stuck around for another year. He came out and said, I cannot represent this state as long as this flag looks like this. And not saying that he was, the SEC is saying they're not going to hold any of championship events in Mississippi until they change the flag was a big part of it. But Hill was kind of the one guy who was really sort of the superstar player, at least in that state, who really kind of made this thing a bigger thing and brought it to the forefront in the headlines. And if it had anything to do with changing it, that's some power. You know, look, we can talk, Professor Holmes, about what's going on with old Jaden McNeil thing at Kansas State. But Kansas State players are now saying, look, we don't like what this guy tweeted, and we don't really want to represent this school, so we might not play or do anything until you expel this student. You know, so now players at the very least are just starting to stretch their legs a little bit and realize, wait a minute here, we actually have real power when it comes to certain aspects of how these things are run.
I got to tell you, Pete, the Mississippi flag thing, it may be of all the changes that we've seen happen, it's the one that I think shocks me the most, because I felt like
How fast did that happen? That was like instant. That's been a debate for decades in terms of Mississippi sports and schools and stuff. And that happened. That went from being a thing to gone in a matter of minutes when this whole thing really kicked in.
And the voting, like if you look at even just the voting in the House and in the Senate, where you have 91-23 and the governor saying that he's going to sign it and you can go out and try to redesign your flag after that. I was stunned at the speed at which change was happening, because I thought for sure what would happen is that those people would get dug in. That the people that are all about Ole Miss, and there's a lot of imagery with Ole Miss and everything associated with that university.
How about
that
just the name?
Absolutely. Like all of that stuff. Like it needs to. So I thought for sure that there was going to be a fight about the flag in Mississippi, and I am pleasantly surprised that there isn't one, which makes me wonder if there were people that were down there that kind of always thought that it didn't belong, and they just never felt enough support to say we should change this.
You've never had a instance where you've had this much of a positive movement on the other side of that debate and all these other debates. And again, that's where, you know, there are going to be sides of this that go too far, not in this, but like in other certain ways. But at the very least, finally, again, college players and athletes who have never really had any say or any power or any influence, these guys are stepping up. And what they have, and here's the one positive thing that they have that the NFL and the pro guys don't have, they got the transfer portal. So if you are a star college football player and you come out and say, look, if you're not changing this, I'm out of here. That doesn't influence an entire system of things, that's enough to at least get the needle to move a little bit and to get people talking about it and to get it out there. And then to your point, then you realize, you know what? Okay, Kylin Hill, for coming out and saying you're not going to go out there and represent a state that has this on the flag. Okay, we're talking about, you know what? Lots of people are all right with changing it, and it'll be okay. And that's kind of, look, are certain things going a little too far? Like, okay, we can't call the Oregon State thing the Civil War again. Whatever. But okay, so change it. Who cares? It's going to be okay. It's just not that big a deal to change these things and give it a year or two, and no one's going to care. No one's going to remember that you had these things in the first place. And all these changes are going to be just fine. It's going to be okay.
How in the world are you doing previews?
lots of research. And it is, look, we're doing the previews on every team until they say that there is not college football. Because here's going to be the crazy thing. We will do all previews on all 130 teams because maybe 70 of them are going to play and maybe some of them aren't. And we're going to have to adjust everything on the fly as we go, because go back to, you know, what we were just talking about before. Let's say, okay, it's Alabama-Georgia day, and the night before Alabama-Georgia, three members of the Alabama secondary test positive for COVID. To your point, what do you do? Where's the plan? It can't just be we're quarantining these guys. What about the rest of the team? What about USC, who these guys played a couple weeks earlier? You know, what about every? It's going to have to go. And what about Georgia's going to be able to say, yeah, we don't really want to play this team because, again, if one team has locked it all down, like right now, Indiana tested something like 160 athletes with zero positive cases. Okay, great. Lock them down. Just okay, we're good for now. Let's keep these guys locked down. So some places are going to be a whole lot better than others. And if there's a school that's really doing everything airtight and they've got everyone, you know, okay and testing fine, they're not going to want to hang around anybody who's got this. So this is going to be a big, giant mess as the season goes on.
Pete, as always, I appreciate the time. Thank you very much for being a friend of the program. Check out Pete's work at College Football News. And you should follow him on Twitter. And if you're like, how the hell do I spell FUTAK? FIUTAK.
Florida International University. Yes, Florida International.
That's how you spell FUTAK. See you, sir. Thank you.
Hi, Lars.
That's Pete FUTAK. Anthony Heron's going to join me. I'm going to ask him, should the Bears have signed Cam Newton? We'll do that next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.